Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Garda Commissioner Drew Harris has said the illegal drug trade never waned during the pandemic, but analysts suggest dealers have had to come up with new ways to do business as lockdowns and increased Garda checkpoints led to organised crime gangs having to become more innovative. Well, to discuss how the drug trade has fared through the pandemic and now as we begin to open up, I'm joined by Nicola Tallant, Investigations Editor with the Sunday World. Good morning, Nicola.
Morning, Claire.
So did, according to what you know, these drug gangs have to come up with new ways to get their drugs out there during the pandemic?
They certainly have to be more innovative and, you know, able to change, which is exactly what they can do. And it's one of their strengths. You know, they're not waiting for regulations to change. They're not waiting for papers to be signed or anything to be dotted. So they were ahead of the game, really.
But with all of the restrictions on travel and so on, there must have been some serious obstacles there for them in getting the product out from the regions where it's produced.
Well, actually, what has emerged more than anything else is the sort of an eye opener into the actual problem of how massive the demand there is for cocaine in Europe. Because the drugs were continuously coming in, and yet where it had been considered that it was the party drug, it was the kind of a thing people would take when they were out, you know, at night, clubbing, it never stopped. So it kept coming, and it was described in the Europol report there earlier this year as a tsunami of cocaine, and that's what we are being hit with in Europe.
Okay,
the market isn't at saturation yet.
So this is not a weekend drug, a party drug, a nightclub drug. That's what we learned.
That's what we learned, and obviously it's been taken by, you know, by people on a daily basis, and it's not something that is just recreational. It's obviously been taken within a household setting, in the same way people would take a glass of wine. And that has been, that, you know, a big eye-opener to many people.
And look, these international drug cartels, they obviously all work together anyway. But because of the restrictions that were in place, those links and bonds, I would imagine, had to become even stronger, did they?
Well, look, the fact of the matter is that if you have the money, you can join the club, you know, you can, they're going to take anybody's money. So, and money is king, and there doesn't have to be particular loyalty. Once you pay up, you get your shipment in. It's up to you that it gets through customs. You're talking about the likes of the main entry points for Europe would be Rotterdam and Antwerp. And there are literally hundreds of thousands of containers coming through on a weekly basis. So without intelligence, those containers are just, you know, they're flooding through, and because you'd be looking for it, it'd be like a needle in a haystack, you know, randomly testing what's in them and you know, checking for cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
So without the intelligence that the police forces have, they're in a losing battle. Now, they do have, and we've seen of late, that they have excellent intelligence. And that is coming from human operatives that are buried deep within the cartels and the drug gangs. Undercover officers, and it's also coming from more and more high-tech surveillance and, you know, listening equipment that's been used by drug fighting forces across the globe, and they're all working together, and that is their strength, that they're swapping information and intelligence much more than before, especially on a Europe-wide basis. I think Europe is actually functioning properly as one force against the drug gangs over the past couple of years. But you've seen a lot of major shipments being seized and what we'd call mother loads. So, you know, if they're unloaded from the ships into Rotterdam or Antwerp, for example, they're quickly broken up and they're gone in 100 different directions in trucks or whatever. And that's very difficult to go after them and to provide the manpower to get to seize it all. Whereas if you get it before it's even unloaded, you're in the winning seats. And they did get one there recently. We heard of it. Was reported. It was on its way to Ireland, 35 million.
Oh, this was the charcoal one?
Hidden in the charcoal, yeah, into the Netherlands. Now, that has actually had a knock-on effect within the gangs. That has caused a cash flow problem. That was a big shipment to have been nabbed. And of course, the gangs here in Europe have to pay up to their South American suppliers, whether it gets in or not. You pay before it's on its way.
Okay, so they've already paid for that, so they've got to make the money back up some way.
I mean, they can, like, the bigger they are, the more losses they can suffer. And you can just imagine that when they, you know, they're dealing multi-million, multi-billion, some of them. But if there's a constant chip away at their profits, it will have an effect. And that comes all the way down the line. And we can see that when the cash flow problem comes back down to, say, for example, Ireland, which it has done.
It has felt certainly over the last while that there have been significant drug seizures. Are you saying that that big one really is the one that matters in terms of the drug gang's bottom line?
There's been a good few of those, you see. So, you know, a one-off is probably they'll survive it and they'll be grand. But, you know, when you get a good, when you get one after the other, it's a consistent battling against them, basically, and consistently going after them and hitting them where it hurts from the point of view of, you know, seizing what they've paid for. But you're also chipping away at the organisations on the ground in various countries. And what we have in Europe is you have the Netherlands, you have Spain, you have Ireland, you have the UK all working together. And they are in individual countries. You're seeing very significant players in the drug market before the courts, being convicted, being jailed. And at the same time, the police forces are also fighting the gangs, bringing in the drugs. You know, they're fighting their product and they're fighting their people.
We always hear, though, don't we, that once they take one of them out, there's always somebody there willing to step up again. Is that generally the case?
Yeah, there's always people to step up, but to, you know, not, there's a finite amount of gangs and individuals who are going to make it to the very, very top, to the kind of, you know, elevated to being somebody that is somebody or a gang that has been targeted by multi-agencies between America, Australia and Europe. You know, there isn't that many of them that are going to have the initial funding to get going, to get them on the ladder to that, and probably the intelligence and the power. You know, some gangs will start off, they'll get lucky with an investment of cash or whatever. And, you know, that'll get them
Get them started.
Bigger and bigger, but not all of them are going to get to that level.
I have this image in my head now you said about the containers coming into Antwerp and Rotterdam. Is that in the main cocaine coming from South America?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, heroin is coming in mainly through Afghanistan, and the Turks will control that in the Turkish gangs and mafias will control that in Europe. It is a drug which is, look, the supply of it, sometimes there can be more of it, it can be cheaper, less. But by and large, the users of heroin are, by and large, people with an illness. Like, they're addicts, they're sick, they get sick if they don't take it. So it's a kind of a different drug to the cocaine. The cocaine is being taken by people who aren't sick, who are functioning really well in ordinary society, who are probably working, you know, with us, amongst us, living beside us, everything. And you probably don't realise that there isn't anything wrong with them. They're just choosing to take it. And it is the biggest problem at the moment within the drug market in Europe and what we're fighting against. There's political issues in some of these countries, like Colombia, with the FARC, and it's very complex. But basically, they are shipping more than ever of the drug. They're growing and shipping more cocaine than ever because of funding. They want to be funded for their wars. And obviously drugs, the sale of drugs funds terrorism across the world. What you have is they're supplying more and the demand is growing all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's a perfect storm. It's like a balloon that just keeps, you know, inflating and inflating.
And is there an expectation that there will be disruption to the heroin supply, most of it coming, as you say, from Afghanistan now that the Taliban have taken control?
Yeah, well, you saw there maybe that the Taliban were suggesting that they were going to crack down on this and they were going to stop production of heroin, etc. And the worry would be that, well, firstly, do you trust the Taliban and what they say? No. And secondly, even if they do that in an effort to try and ingratiate themselves with the international community, have they something else coming? Have they synthetic drugs coming. And there is a suggestion that they have been developing laboratories across Afghanistan to create these synthetic drugs, which are far more addictive, far stronger, far easier to transport and create. So what the worry would be...
They can't be the only ones, though, at that. You know, if another country had the capability to make a synthetic heroin replacement, surely that's happening, must be happening worldwide.
Well, look, everybody has the ability to do it, you know, and in Chinese laboratories as well, they're creating all sorts of drugs, and the drug market is experiencing a bit of a change nowadays, in that a lot of it has gone online, and you can literally order directly from some of these laboratories, and you can cut out the middleman. So in a way, the future, you'd wonder where the drug gangs will sit in the future, and will they actually have to survive, fight for their survival when the customer can go directly to the supplier. But look, it's always a very interesting sort of part of the world's economy to watch and to see what's happening. But, you know, synthetic drugs are a huge problem across the States. They're very, very addictive and very destructive. And we haven't seen an enormous amount of them here yet, but it's only a matter of time. Okay.
Nicola, good as always to talk to you, and fascinating to hear what you have to say about that. Investigations editor with the Sunday World. No doubt Nicola will have some good stuff again for us to read on Sunday. Let's take a break before the news.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.